Hello, and welcome to another episode of Philosophical Bones. I'm Nick, your host. And
I'm Keith.
My guest this week. Well, again, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Always looking for guests, by the way. If you want to come on, hit us up with an email at nerdybonescast@gmail.com, Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to have you on. So anyway, to get to our topic of the night or day or whatever time you're listening to this. This is question number 10, and the question today is, why are people so afraid to acknowledge their faults and work on fixing them?
I think a lot of it is because it's really hard to acknowledge that there's something wrong about yourself.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's really hard to take that acknowledgement and move forward. Like what popped into my mind is, you know, I'm Irish. Mm-hmm. The big thing is my family's dealt with a lot of alcoholism. And you know, like it's a hard thing to be like, hey, I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I need to fix that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on another side of it is like, hey, I'm a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And I need to fix that. Or I'm lazy and I need to fix that. It's really hard to make that distinction on yourself of like, hey,
it really is. Yeah. To be able to tell yourself like, hey, I'm fucking up my life or whatever,
right.
or the situation I'm in. And like, I need to acknowledge that and try to fix it. But the biggest thing I want to put out there is the reason that all this happens is honestly, it's a comfort issue.
Comfort. Exactly.
And we talked about this earlier today.
Yeah. It's like when you get comfortable in your habits,
yeah,
it's really hard to change those.
Because,
You know, humans are a creature of habit. And when you decide that you want to do something all the time, well, not even decide that you're doing something all the time, mm-hmm. but when you fall into an everyday cycle of doing something, when it's detrimental, whether it's like eating sugar, mm-hmm. whether it's eating hamburgers, mm. whether it's...
eating fast food.
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to... We don't want to acknowledge that that's not a good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of people don't want to.
I realize that about myself all the time. Like I don't eat the best.
my big thing is sugar, dude.
Yeah,
I fucking
sugar.
Love sugar. Like I've got a fucking 2 liter of fucking squirt in the kitchen.
I mean,
right now.
I drink every night after work, you know, that's really like, that's something it's more about.
Well, all,
it's a way for me to kind of relax after a long day.
Well, it's all things in moderation.
Yeah.
It's all things in moderation.
That's true.
You know, like, because one of my big things is I used to smoke pot, like, a lot.
Yeah.
I used to smoke, like, I'm talking Mersh here, but I used to smoke, like, an ounce of Mersh a week.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. I was at the point to where I would buy, like, 3 ounces at a time.
That's a lot, dude.
Yeah, just to...
That's a lot of money, too.
It was about $150.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, and again, I'm talking Mersh, but the thing was I was in...
What was Mersh exactly?
Mersh is... commercial weed.
Oh, okay.
That means not medical.
Okay.
That, a lack of a better way to put it would be like your basic like Mexican strain.
Okay.
You know, like something that you could buy for like $50 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
But like for me, it was at that point where I was, as soon as I got down to like half an ounce, I'd start fucking panicking.
Yeah.
Like fuck, I gotta get more.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put that aside a little bit because it's the money spending and the control it had over me.
Yeah.
I had to be like, because I would get to the point where I was like an asshole if I wasn't stoned.
Yeah.
And how often, honestly, Nick, how often do you see me smoke weed anymore?
Not very often.
And when I do, I get fucking high.
You get really high.
You know, so like, I had to, that was something about myself that I had to address.
Mm.
And I was like, I can't let this have as much control over me as it does.
Yeah.
And like, and going back to the question, it's like the hard part about that kind of thing is to be like, okay, I have to acknowledge that this is a problem, and I have to acknowledge that I can't say that it was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can't say it was a problem, but it was one of those things to where I was unhappy if I didn't have weed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had to, there for a while, I was like 100% like weed sober for like 2 years.
Like, do you think maybe people know basically what their problem is?
Yeah,
but they feel like they don't have the time to fix it.
That's a good
especially
way to put
it. Nowadays, because it feels like people nowadays they don't feel like they have any time anymore.
Yeah, like one of the things I was going to get into is physical fitness, and like you know today you know America deals with a lot of obesity.
Oh yeah,
and my exact like perspectives. I used to be a marathon runner. I used to run 20 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. I talked to you about
that. Yeah.
And I actually got to the point where I bruised my lungs, and like And I ran 32 miles and bruised my lungs.
What technically
happened is I bruised my diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
So it hurt to breathe for almost like 3 months.
Shit.
So I stopped running. And right now I'd be hard pressed to fucking run for 15 minutes without stopping. You know, so the thing is like the human body is capable of a lot of amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you choose to fix something about yourself, you have the ability.
Yeah.
You really do. Like at the age of 36 right now, if I decided to start running again, within 3 months, I'd be right back to where I was.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe people just don't have enough, have as much willpower as they used to. Because we're especially nowadays, is we're distracted by so much.
Social media, the TV. Yeah. You know, like, it's just too easy to come home and sit down and.
It really is. Like, and you know, we're both lazy people. I'll totally admit that. I'm a lazy person.
Me too.
I don't necessarily being a lazy person, but at the same time, I kind of like being a lazy person. Yeah. It's a little bit of both sides.
Well, both of us work really hard every day.
But yeah, we work. I was telling you earlier about how, like, I feel like I have 3 jobs now. I just started going back to school. I work my regular crappy little minimum wage job. and honestly, this is my 3rd job.
Yeah. Well,
but this is the job I love the most.
Well, yeah, dude.
And I mean, it's like, you know, do what you love.
You know, if
it's
you know,
I always find it hard calling this a job because it's not, I mean, we're not making any money off this. We're just doing it for fun.
Yeah. You know, and both of us look forward to it every week. And the thing is, both of us put hours and hours of work into it. You know, and like, to kind of preface this, what we're going to be talking about on the next Nerdy Bones episode. We did a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
We did a lot of work.
But we've been doing that more and more lately, especially you, for the most part.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, I've got like a new like obsession with research,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's kind of away from the topic a little bit. But the thing is like why I want to talk about that is like at first I used to just fucking wing it.
Yeah.
And it's something that I like improved about myself.
In fact, just thinking about this now, or you talking about this now, I kind of realized like maybe you realized that was a fault of yours.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was getting
at.
And
you recognize the problem with like, I need to change this to put out something better.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and to make myself better. And now it's like the fact that you did it. And you're like,
I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
I feel like going into the episodes, I feel a lot better. Like I know my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as in the.
And they say the same thing with exercise and eating well. It's like you feel so much better.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm a huge proponent of the fact that, like, the scariest things I've ever done in my life were always the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
It's true. It's like when I really had to push myself to like, get past the fear, it was always the most satisfying thing I've ever done. Because one thing I want to get to is I had this thing called the Camino de Santiago, and any of my friends would know, like I talk about it like all the time because I love it. And actually I think about it more and more lately. Like I want to go back and do it again. And what it is it's this like, it's called like a pilgrimage walk, through Spain.
There's
a bunch of different routes you can take through Spain, but it's all leading this one place called Santiago de Compostela. And I did a lot of it. I walked like 300 miles of it over the course of like 23 days, I think. So I didn't do the entire thing, but I did parts of it, but I did a lot of it. But anyway, like one thing I would do every day was I didn't go into it like expecting to do this, but every day when I was walking, you have so much time to think and focus on yourself. So what I did was like every day I had one thing about myself that I wanted to change. And I would like get to the root of it. Like, why can't I change this? What do I need to do to change this? And it worked. And I don't know if like thinking about it now, I'm like, I don't know if I was able to change anything, but maybe I did. I really just I just don't remember.
Right. Yeah.
But maybe it was because I accomplished the fault I tried to correct.
That was in Spain, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I think you said it.
I think it'll actually be 6 years in April that I did it.
That's dope, dude.
And I really want to. I can't wait to go back and do it again one day.
That's dope. That's really dope.
I will find a job where I can take a month and a half off work and I want to do the whole thing.
So I've got a question for you, right quick, on the same vein of what we're talking about.
But you know what? I will say,
go ahead.
Let me finish real quick. I don't think I could do that kind of thing now because I do feel like I'm distracted or I have too much going on or I feel like I don't have any time. Even though I do have the time, I'm just lazy with my time in the morning. Because I'll wake up around like 8, 10 o'clock in the morning and then I'll have like maybe 4 hours before I have to go to work. And those 4 hours, I pretty much just usually sit, lay in bed and watch like YouTube and Netflix.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
So I kind of lost that.
Well, I'm on the opposite.
Unfortunately.
I'm on the opposite. I go to work really early in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I just sit here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the question I was going to ask is this on the kind of like the same vein. It's like, has there been any fears that you've had that you've kind of moved past and overcome? So that's a hard question, right?
Well, one I would point to is riding my motorcycle.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't done it in a while, but every time I go to get on it, I always still had that fear about it. But then when I do it and I'm riding, I love it. Yeah. I love riding.
Yeah.
But it's just every time I just that it's that fear thing.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was one thing I you could say overcome, you know, even though a lot of people riding motorcycle isn't that big a deal, but a lot of people still fear like I could never get on one of those things.
Yeah.
But that was actually one thing I pushed myself to do one time. I was like, oh, I want to ride a motorcycle. So I signed up for class. I learned how to ride it, bought one and did it.
Nice.
But I haven't, but I've put like hardly any miles on that bike in the last like 5 years.
Well, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because my dad recently gave me his Panhead.
Yeah.
So like that's, I've only ridden it twice, and like to me it's just like it's just so much like
so much power, right?
Thunder between I get thunder between my legs.
Where is that bike anyway?
It's at my dad's place.
Dude, you should ride it.
Yeah, it's in my name now and given to me and everything. But the where I was kind of going with this is like for me, public speaking is like my biggest.
I still have that. In fact, I was in a class the other night and I was like the teacher asked me like, you know, oh, say your name and this and that. And I'm just like,
you panic, right?
Yeah. I talk really low.
Yeah.
If I'm around people, I can talk pretty normally, but a lot of times I do talk low. And I've noticed that throughout my life is like, I'm kind of a low talker.
Yeah.
Except for this. I don't know. I tend to talk a little louder.
Because
it's pretty much like, I'm just talking to my friend.
Well, exactly. Well, you kind of circumvented what I was trying to say is doing podcasting. My fear, because this is the ultimate public speaking. You know,
that's true. But we're in a room talking.
I don't have to be standing in front of people. Yeah,
so. I honestly can't. I could not do public speaking.
Me neither, dude.
It's that fear factor. But it is one of those things. Maybe if you did it one day, like maybe you would just finally get over it.
I actually did some reading about this, about the fear of public speaking. Okay, check this.
Mm-hmm.
Like so, it's like a regular fear in like the human psyche. And what this comes from is what they would call genealogical memory. Because most times in human history, when you had to do public speaking, it was to have to state your case to not get killed.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was.
So something that was kind of ingrained in our DNA.
Yeah, to where it's like you have to like state your case so you don't get hung or like kicked out of town or whatever. Because that was back in early human history, that was the only time you had to speak in front of people.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, like that's just one.
Some people, it comes to them naturally, too.
It's well, just like Chad in particular, dude, he fucking teaches classes and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, for him, it's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on how many people I was in front of and all that, but.
Well, and it depends.
But I remember I was actually I had jury duty.
Oh, fuck.
And I had to say,
duty.
Like, my name, and I had to answer, like, 5 or 6 questions, but I just speak it out loud. And actually, at one point, the judge was like, hey, can you, like, talk a little louder, hold the microphone up closer to your mouth?
But I don't want it.
And that was just kind of the way I was. I was like, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to answer these questions in front of, like, 100 people. I'm like, fuck.
I recently got excused from jury duty, basically, because, like, they were there and, like, interviewing us, because I was actually on a case for a double homicide. And in hindsight, I kind of wish I would have fucking stuck it out.
Yeah.
But the thing is I expressed to the judge is like, I'm nervous. I don't want to be here. Look at my handwriting, how like, cause like I had to write stuff out and I was nervous, and my handwriting fucking looked like I was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
I was like, look at this. I'm nervous. I will not be a good juror for this. And they excused me. But like in hindsight, I wish I would have stuck.
See,
that
like
shit
just
out.
The speaking part, like you kind of you do acknowledge that. To get back to the topic, it's like you do acknowledge like you're afraid of it.
Oh yeah, big time.
And it's a fault of yours.
Yeah.
But you don't want to kind of fix it.
I would like to.
You would.
I would like to. Like, hey, look at it this way, dude. Say Philosophical Bones, Nerdy Bones, Rufus the Villain, like gets big.
Yeah.
There's live podcasts all the time.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like, can you imagine us being on a stage?
I feel I would be kind of comfortable doing it, though.
I feel like I would, too. But, like, it's one of those things to where, like, if I wasn't comfortable, it would ruin everything. You know, like, so I would really like to overcome that. And the only thing is you got to do it over. It's repetition to get over a fear, to get over something that, like, I'm trying to get back to like the main question, like to overcome or fix something about yourself, you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You have to work at it. And you have,
that's probably the hardest part, honestly, is the work.
Yeah. And then
most people acknowledge their faults, but they don't ever work on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will say something. Another thing that happened to me recently was, I decided to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was just like, I'd been thinking about it for at least a good 6 months. I was like, what should I do with my life? You know, I need something. I need to make a living. I need a career. I need to stop working jobs. And actually one thing I said in the class was, like, I was like, oh, I'm Nick. And, it's like, oh, well, you know, why are you taking these classes, or why are you going for this? And I was like, pretty much like, I've worked really crappy jobs my whole life. And I got to a point where I decided I don't want to do that anymore. And I would like a career.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So honestly, I acknowledge the fault of my life isn't really going anywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
And that needed to change. And it is really scary for me, honestly. Mm-hmm.
And like on that,
I'm 34. By the time I'm finished with school, you know, I'll actually probably be turning like 37, maybe.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll be 36.
So my age.
Yeah, I'll be 36. But just thinking about that, like just starting over when you're you know, in your 30s, because it's definitely a very scary thing for most people. Well, even like you see people going back to school when they're in their 50s.
Well, and then, like, you've been actually encouraging me to to study criminology.
Definitely.
Which I think if you guys have any history on the show whatsoever, that might be my calling. Like, I don't know.
And it's funny. Like, I was in when I was working yesterday, after having my first full day of school, I was like telling people, like, oh, you should, you know, I would tell one guy I work with who's like in his 50s. I was like, dude, you should go back to school. Like, it's paid for. He has like a GI Bill and all that. I'm like, dude, go back to school. Like get it, you know, get little certifications or something. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know, another guy I work with is like, I'm telling him the same thing. It's like, dude, I see you like doing this or that. And it's like, I don't think he'll ever do it. But
could you see?
But I was trying to encourage them. It's like, I was like, so in a way of like me going back to school, I started encouraging other people to be like, you should do it yourself.
Yeah. Could you see me as a criminologist?
Totally.
Yeah. Right.
Totally.
Right. Like, I could see myself like writing like criminal profiles.
Yeah, I could totally see you as like a profiler.
Yeah. Oh, easy. I could do that almost right now.
I think some people, though, they look at when it comes to, especially career wise, they look at the amount of time it takes. And I do. I've looked at it much myself. It's like, how much time is this going to take for me?
Exactly.
To get in? How long am I going to have to work this shitty job to get into that profession I want?
Yeah.
And I look at the time aspect. And for me, I'm like, I need something I can get into fast.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I look at like, okay, I can do it fast. But if I want to get into something else, I'm already have a job where a career where I can afford to go back and do that and the time. So I'm like, oh, well, okay. I'm making, you know, say for instance, like, oh, I'm making $40,000 a year. All my bills are paid. I'm good. Well, now if I want to go back to school, for a degree, it's going to take, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And like
that's actually a big problem, I think, with, you know, not to get political at all, but with society is like, we, you know, we're so kind of forced to just find something to make to
oh,
live.
Oh yeah, that's great.
So we don't ever get a chance to really explore what we really want to do.
Right.
Because like, we're just in that mindset we need to make money.
Exactly. Like I got pushed into the culinary position simply because that's what I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily what I want to do. I'm good at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we were talking about earlier, like if I went back to school, I have a very, very specific thing that I would like to study.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know how I would put that into a career. But, you know, police departments hire people like me all the time.
Oh, totally.
You know, so there's options.
And yeah, a lot of times they'll pay for school and they'll hire you while you're in school.
Exactly.
There's a lot of options out there. And more than anything, I think a lot more like higher fields are looking for people.
Yeah. So, like, what's in the back of my mind is, like, the reason that people don't want to acknowledge their faults is putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, like, hey, this is what's wrong.
Yeah.
And I need to fix that. Because I think it's an ego thing.
It's true.
Excuse me. But I think it's an ego thing. It's like it's the hardest thing in the world to say, I've got something wrong. That's the hardest thing in the world to do is be like, hey, I'm falling short in this area.
Because change doesn't really, I mean, come to most people easily.
Yeah, yeah.
People are very stuck in their ways.
Yeah, and that's the American problem is like we get
just people in general. It's
yeah. Well, I was just getting at like when we were talking about in the car earlier, just mm-hmm. like being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to be adaptable. And the big thing is like if you don't have a lot of in your mind to be adaptable to acknowledge that something that you're falling short in some mm-hmm. area in your life, you're never going to go anywhere. Like you've got to be able to, okay, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that and mm-hmm. address
well,
that.
Also, most people don't want to talk with other people about what's wrong.
Yeah, know, that's the hardest thing in the world.
But I honestly find that if you really do put yourself out there and tell people, like, hey, I'm fucking up, or hey, like, I really want to fix this about myself, like, you get so much encouragement.
Right,
exactly. From the people around
exactly,
you.
Exactly, dude. I'm glad you said that.
And it does help. Like, I put up something on Facebook the other day, and I hardly ever put anything on there, but I put up, like, hey, I had my first day back at school.
Yeah,
like,
I saw
that.
In 2 years,
I'll have a job. And like I had like a bunch of friends of mine like just like it and just comment and say like yeah. like I'm happy for you, like good for you, like good job. Yeah. And I'm just like, that was really encouraging to me.
Yeah. Well, like,
and it was nice to hear that. I'm like, I feel better like about my choice now.
Yeah, dude. I'm literally like grinning because that's yeah. awesome, dude. That's yeah. fucking awesome. Like,
and people are always happy when you do decide to make that change.
Exactly.
You know, when yeah. you decide to fix your faults.
Exactly. And a lot of times maybe these people won't know that that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But then you acknowledge it and be like, hey, I need to do this. You know, I think that's great. I think this was a good question for this evening.
This is really why I wanted to get into it, because yeah. I felt it was really relevant to both me and you at this day.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good question, because like both you and I are kind of like staring into the future of like what we've got going on.
Yeah.
And you know, like we've got to acknowledge our shortcomings.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this is a word,
mm-hmm.
but our longcomings.
Okay.
Yeah, because our longcomings are, I mean, this is something I'm going to coin.
Okay.
Longcomings are something that we're good at.
Yeah.
And we're good at podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our longcomings.
Yeah.
But like it's,
but tonight I really feel this episode is more for me and you.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's nice to do.
Yeah, definitely.
For a change.
Yeah, definitely. And like on the main show, Nerdy Bones, we've had a lot of guests lately and stuff like that. And I really feel like, if there's anybody out there that feels like they have a problem, people will listen to you.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. Like I hate bringing up, going back to it, but like in my family in particular, there's a problem with alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a shortcoming, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, people aren't going
to
judge you.
If you want to go back to school, talk to your friends about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Talk to your family about it.
Exactly.
You want to change something about yourself, you know? Yeah, share it with somebody. It's yeah. tough. To acknowledge something that you know, you feel is the matter with you.
Mm.
I don't even necessarily want to say it was the matter with you.
So it's
something about yourself you want to change to make yourself better.
Exactly.
Just grow as a person.
Exactly.
You know, do it.
Like one of the...
And you'll notice, you'll notice you get a lot of outpouring of support.
Exactly. And one of the things I want to bring up is I follow a specific thing on Instagram. It's called Follow My Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these women... It's mostly women that are on it,
mm-hmm.
but like they're just hugely overweight, and they like post their progression into getting fit.
Yeah,
and it's really amazing. And a lot of times, I'll like it and like mm-hmm. comment, like, "You go, man, do that shit.
Yeah,
do that shit. Like, if there's something wrong with you, you have the power to fix it.
Yeah,
you know. Like, so
I
might be babbling, but you know, like,
no, it's true. And I remember when I was walking the Camino, that people around me were like amazed, like, I can't believe how much willpower you have to
exactly,
do this
exactly.
right now. Like exactly. I was in pain walking at certain points, and they were like, but I was like, I had to get to where I need to go.
Yeah.
And that was the willpower aspect. And it is tough to really tap into that willpower
exactly.
of yourself. You can do it.
You can do it.
It's funny. This turned
an inspirational episode.
Yeah, this is an inspirational episode for hopefully maybe some people out there, but yeah. mainly ourselves.
Well, like in my case in particular, I really like, I'm kind of like piggybacking off with from what you said. Like I grew up as a very bullied person. Like I got bullied a lot.
Yeah.
And my dad got tired of me coming home with black eyes and broken glasses and the whole nine yards. And at the age of 9 years old, my dad got me into Wing Chun,
yeah.
which changed my life.
And at that point, your dad recognized a fault in you because you're not old enough to really think about that when you're that young. But he recognized that, and he was like, I need to help my son out.
Yeah, like, so he got me into Wing Chun to where it raised my physical fitness. It raised my confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It raised my ability to defend myself to the point where I was doing competitions. And you're like, so that's, you know.
Well,
like,
I just realized about this whole thing is like our parents are the ones when we're younger who recognize our faults and try to help us and fix them. They're not like necessarily forcing us to fix them,
but
they recognize them in us and they do try to help us. And that goes back to like a support system. But then in our adult life, that's not the case at all. We don't have somebody recognizing what we're doing.
You got to do it yourself.
You know, you might have a friend say like, you're fucking up, you know, you need to change this shit. But for the most part, it's only from within that we really recognize and accept them.
Well, like on my martial arts story, the big thing for me was like my dad, like, because my dad was a martial artist when I was a kid. He did taekwondo and Muay Thai.
Mm.
And he like started talking to me about it. And like, I remember this so clearly, and I've actually said this on more than one episode.
Mm-hmm.
My dad showed me Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
And he showed me Bruce Lee. And I was like, it was like this switch that flipped in my brain. I was like, you can move like that? You can learn to do these things?
Right.
You know, like, so long story short, what Bruce Lee did was Jeet Kune Do, which is a derivative of Wing Chun.
Mm.
So I was like, Dad, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And my dad, like, researched. He's like, okay, I found you a Wing Chun class. Mm-hmm. Fong's Wing Chun here in Tucson, Arizona. Fucking shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Changed my life.
Nice.
And, you know, like, so that was... It changed. Like, I went from being like this introverted fat kid that was a comic book nerd that was mm-hmm. getting beat up all the time
mm-hmm.
to being a physically fit martial artist by the age of fucking 12 years old.
Yeah.
So
I want to throw a challenge out there for anybody who's listening. Just if you're listening and you enjoy this episode, just after you listen to this, like, think of yourself and think of one thing.
I feel good about tonight's episode.
It's weird. I'm doing an inspirational episode.
Yeah. We're not Tony Robbins or nothing.
No, we're not trying to inspire or necessarily inspire anybody. But anyway, after you listen to this, like, just think about one thing about yourself you want to change, no matter how small it may be. Like, hey, I don't want to eat fast food anymore.
Yeah. Or maybe I want to read more books.
Just recognize that thing about yourself and just try to change it. You know, just give it a shot. You know, maybe do it for a week.
Yeah.
Do it for 2 weeks. Well, do it for a month.
They say it takes 90 days to create a new habit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just, you know, give it a shot. And then, I mean, I don't know if anybody will, but you know what? I want to just put it out there.
Maybe we might make a little difference here.
You know, you want to do a podcast? You've always wanted to do a podcast? Fucking do it.
Like, I remember I was doing the Nerdy Bones for almost a year off the crappy ass shit that we had.
Yeah.
And then you came and did a couple episodes and were like, dude, let's make this awesome.
Yeah.
And look at where we're at now.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry tonight turned
into... We're always vain.
I know. Well, no, what I'm saying is I'm sorry tonight turned into, like, an inspirational show.
Yeah.
But like, dude, you can do it. You can do... You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to fucking take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Look up Joe Rogan. He talks about be the hero in the movie that you would want to
exactly.
star in.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite, like Joe Rogan.
Oh yeah, be the hero of your own movie.
Exactly.
Dude, we fucking got savvy as fuck.
You know what though? I'm happy we did.
I thought it was good.
I said a lot of things I've wanted to say to myself for a while, mm-hmm. and you know, and maybe even say to other people, and hopefully, you know, maybe they pick something up from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, you know, challenge yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely. I like that challenge.
It's a tough thing to.
If it's easy, it's not worth
to
doing.
Really recognize. You know what's. What you know, nobody's perfect.
Mm.
We all have our faults.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
But we do have the power to change them.
Yeah,
so
you have the power to acknowledge them and change them.
And that's what we're constantly working on doing. Me and Keith do it every day. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And when I'm in the shower, I'm like, oh shit, I'm doing this wrong. I'm like, what can I do to fix this? And I usually don't fix it, but I recognize it. But yeah, just follow through on one thing.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest faults.
And then, like I said, when I was walking the Camino, that's one thing I did every single day was I recognized one fault and try to change it.
To follow through with it.
It's just tough in this day and age we're so distracted.
There's so many reasons.
It's just finding the time to really just think.
Yeah, well, there's so many reasons.
That's why the shower is actually perfect place.
Right. Well, there's so many reasons to not follow through with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Follow through with it. And like I said, we're not trying to be Tony Robbins right now, but This episode started off in one direction and ended in another.
Yeah.
But I
and just, I would normally always repeat the question at the end of the episode, but I don't feel I need to.
I was really happy with this
because we kind of hit a lot on this.
Yes, we did. Half an hour of
and
us.
This was a really great philosophical bones.
Yes,
it
was,
this is probably
man.
My favorite one we've done so
thank
far.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having.
And we're only on our 10th episode.
Yeah. And before you hit the button.
Yeah.
Thank you for having Keith Rufus the Villain again as a guest.
Yeah, this was a really really good conversation.
Thank you, man.
So I hope you enjoyed it. Keep thinking.